Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You know, the middle of the road and moderation is crucial. Like, you can have a glass of wine here or there. You can have a steak now and then. But it's like, you don't have to do everything to such an extreme where you only eat steak or you only eat egg.
Welcome to Radically Loved Radio. I am your host, Rosie Acosta, yoga teacher and teacher trainer, mindfulness coach, speaker, and creative writer. I am also the founder of RadicallyLoved.com, a website where you can go for more information about yoga, mindfulness, meditation, and lifestyle advice. On this podcast, we talk to people within our health and wellness community that are creating content through the ritualistic practice of yoga, meditation, or overall mindful living. We hope to create value in your life so that you can achieve your highest potential and live a radically loved life. To stay in touch with us, just follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Rosie Acosta and on Facebook at Radically Loved Rosie. You can sign up for our newsletter on radicallyloved.com to stay up to date on future workshops, retreats, and latest podcasts. Hey guys, most of you know that I have returned back to a plant-based diet, so my beverage consumption has increased quite a bit. Don't judge. I know there's some of you out there that really enjoy beverages. So one of my favorite things to drink lately, which I'm consuming a lot of, is Four Sigmatic's new Golden Latte Mushroom Mix. It has shiitake and turmeric in it. It's totally organic, caffeine-free, vegan, and only 1 gram of palm sugar per serving. I love being able to travel with these little packets because they're really easy to make. All you need is some hot water. Some of the additional ingredients in the golden latte are adaptogenic tulsi, warming ginger, and a pinch of black pepper to support turmeric's skin-loving properties. So not only do your insides feel amazing, but your skin looks great. Go to 4Sigmatic now and enter promo code RADICALLYLOVED, that's RADICALLYLOVED, to get 15% off of your entire purchase. Be sure to check out all the other products that they have there as well. Hey, listeners, we need your support. Help us by subscribing and rating to this podcast. Send us a snapshot of your review or comment, and we will send you a very special Radically Loved gift. Send your comment to info@radicallyloved.com. You can also click on the show notes here on this podcast for more information. If you want to be part of our community, please click the link to our private Facebook group on the show notes of this particular podcast so you can be the first to hear of upcoming trainings, retreats, and special Radically Loved events. Thanks so much for listening. I had all these aspirations of becoming a doctor, right? And so after I went through that schooling, like the first 2 years, I was like, there's no way. It's just not that I didn't feel like I couldn't do it, but it was just like, I think I was just so overwhelmed. So I'm always so inspired by women, just in general, just women. I'm just inspired by women. I love women. So, yes. So, but when I get the opportunity and the privilege to talk to a doctor, not just any doctor, but a cardiologist, I get really excited.
Okay, good. Well, I get excited when I can talk to someone who seems
like they have a much calmer mental life from doing yoga, which I find
yes.
so impressive.
You know, it's interesting. I just had a conversation recently with this really incredible teacher, author. Her name's Yvonne Telly, who wrote a book called Breaking Up with Busy. And we were talking about how people in our field, you know, yoga, meditation, self-development, how people have this idea that we just have these like really relaxing lives. And I'm like, but not really. I mean, I think everyone's schedule is the same when you're an entrepreneur or you're trying to build your own business. It's like we still create those stresses in our lives.
Definitely. I think that it's hard for anybody to sort of get the busy stuff out of their brain and have some calmness.
Yeah. Okay. So for those of you listening, welcome. Welcome to Radically Loved Podcast. I'm so excited, as you heard, to be talking to somebody that is legit. I'll let you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, but I am so excited to dive into some questions I have. So for the people listening, I have Dr. Jennifer Haith on today. I'm trying to add a clap track so that we can have a little like, yeah.
Oh, I like that.
if not, everyone listening, just pretend or just clap, pretend. So for the people listening, you guys, we're at the, no, please go ahead. So just so you guys know, those of you listening, Jen's actually at work right now, which we want her to be at work because we want her doing what she does best. So you may randomly hear her getting calls or people coming in, and you know, just we'll make it part of the show. So
I'm trying to keep it to a minimum.
All right, Dr. Jen, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
So for those the people listening, will you give us a little bit of background as to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I am a cardiologist. I work at New York Presbyterian Hospital Columbia in New York City, and I specialize in advanced heart disease, so people with advanced heart failure, people who need transplant, people who've had a heart transplant, and I have a special interest in pregnant women, so I take care of a lot of pregnant women with heart disease. And that's what I do.
How did this happen? Like, did you always want to be a doctor, like growing up? Where did you grow up?
You know, I grew up in Connecticut. Okay. We lived in Stamford, Connecticut. And I didn't always want to be a doctor. I think that I really liked science when I was a kid. I was a little bit one of those dorks who wanted my mom to order like a pig and a frog for me to dissect in the backyard, like already dead, obviously. And I just really liked it. So I really liked science. And then, but I also liked other things. I liked reading and I liked history. And so when I went to college, I was actually an American history major. And then I did pre-med. And I think it was in college that I really realized that I wanted to take the pre-med courses and be a doctor because I couldn't imagine having a job where I sat at a desk all day. And I wanted to have a job where I worked with a lot of people and helped people. And I wanted to feel like when I looked back on my life, I felt like for me, what was important was feeling like I had helped people, basically.
Yeah. And so you took it upon yourself to put yourself through this journey and to work with women in particular, and what spawned that?
So I found, first of all, I love women. I have a lot of women in my life, and I have lots of great women friends. So I'm like a woman person in general. And then I just felt like women were really being sort of undertreated, underdiagnosed, undercared for. You know, I think that in the world that we live in now, there's a lot of recognition of how women are being mistreated in business and in work and the Me Too movement. And it's the same in medicine. It's the same, you know, in hospitals, and it's the same with patient care. And, you know, when you look back at how women, particularly in cardiology, which is my area of interest, have been treated in terms of, you know, research and diagnosis and then treatment, it's so much worse than men, and just really pretty shameful. So when that all came upon me, I realized like I was really wanted it to be part of my mission to go and try to make women more aware of their risks and try to help them reduce those risks.
Yeah. And this is actually something I was reading about a couple weeks ago, maybe when we connected, it just kind of spawned this whole like study, you know, where I was reading all the statistics and how the statistics of women getting misdiagnosed or not getting the proper help, not getting the proper care in regard to their health and how mm-hmm. obviously it's like anything else, you know, if people don't know what they're looking for, or as patients, we don't really know what the signs are. So I was hoping that you can speak to that a little bit so that we can really understand what it looks like to be healthy and, you know, why our heart health is so important.
Yeah. So I think that when you look at women and how they've been treated in the entire medical field and in cardiology in particular, I think that there's been a real bias against them for a lot of different reasons. One is that heart disease was really thought of as a man's disease, and it was presented mm-hmm. as such in pretty much all the media that you can imagine. So in TV, in movies, in books, you know, there's always male characters that are dying of a heart attack, that have, you know, you think of the smoking, big, red-faced, angry man having a heart attack, or, you know, things like that. And never do you see a woman with suffering from heart disease in any of those scenarios. So I think there's sort of a cultural bias against mm-hmm. women. Mm-hmm. And then there was a lot of scandal sort of in the, I guess it was now like the 60s when the thalidomide disaster happened. And basically because thalidomide, which I don't know if you remember, but was a used as a sedative in women who were anxious, and then it turned out to cause a lot of severe birth defects. And that happened a lot more in Europe than in this country. But as a result, the FDA really stopped women from participating in any research trials because they were really, I mean, it was born out of good reason. But as a result, now women have been really excluded from so many of the randomized trials we have studied to look at, you know, medicines and treatment of heart disease. And so I think now women don't realize for so many reasons that heart disease is their number one killer, and it's more than all cancers combined. And that's a really shocking number that most women don't know. And they don't talk about it with each other. They're not aware of it. Their doctors are often not aware of it. So I think that message is important to get out there.
Wow. Yeah. And why do you think that is? Why is it? I mean, I would have thought it would have been cancer, not heart disease.
Yeah, no, it is heart disease. And heart disease really encompasses so many problems. I mean, cardiovascular disease in general, it's heart attacks, heart failure, you know, secondary effects of hypertensive heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, valve disease, arrhythmias. I mean, there's so many kinds of cardiovascular disease, stroke, you know, and so that is really important. And I think that for women, they should know that they don't need to be embarrassed. They shouldn't feel like there's a stigma attached to having a diagnosis of heart disease. And in fact, there's so much you can do to change your risk factor profile, as opposed to like cancer, where you get cancer and you have cancer, you know,
you
can get chemo and surgery and, you know, but in heart disease, you can really like lower your risk by treating your high blood pressure, treating your high cholesterol, like exercising, weight loss, you know, so there's a lot of interventions which make it a disease that I think is really positive, and there's a lot of things we can do to help people. So that's what I really like about it.
Yeah, no, that's so, it's great that we're having a conversation, because I feel like it's, you know, for me, when I was a teenager, I was diagnosed with extrasystole.
Uh-huh.
So, and I had no idea what that was. I'm like, and nobody knew. Everyone's like, oh, just let's put her on some Xanax and like,
right,
it'll fix it. But it's, you know, it was heart palpitations, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And that's the way a lot of women are treated. Give her some Xanax. She's having an anxiety attack. You know, women go to the ER and they say they have chest pain, and, you know, they're often dismissed as being anxious, panic. You know, there actually used to be a diagnosis of hysteria for women this is back many, many years, you know, going back decades. But
God.
I mean, that's why women feel embarrassed. But in fact, you know, it isn't hysteria. It's heart disease. They need to, and they need to be treated and evaluated appropriately. And maybe it isn't. But at least you should get the same workup as a man would get.
Yeah. So how do we ask, like, how do we go to the doctor and ask for a diet? Do we have to go to a cardiologist? Like, would you recommend us women at a certain age going to the cardiologist, or how, what does that look like for normal people?
Right. Well, depending on your age and your risk factor profile, and, you know, women should start being screened as early as in their, you know, mid to late 20s for risk factors for heart disease. And so what the first thing that women really need to know is what the risk factors are. And for women, it's, so first of all, very important is family history. So if you have a parent or a sibling who's had a significant, you know, cardiac event or a heart attack, you know, before the age of 50 or 60, that is something your doctor really needs to know about, because certain genetic predisposition will exist regardless of if you, you know, go to the gym 7 days a week and, mm-hmm. you know, are incredibly in shape. If you have high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, smoking, and then in women, newly identified risk factors are preeclampsia. So that's when you develop a hypertensive disorder in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. That is a risk factor now for heart disease. Premature delivery, also a risk factor for heart disease of the woman. And so, you know, as we learn more about these risk factors and women are more aware, they should go to their primary care doctor for their annual or to their GYN and say, you know, have you assessed my risk factors for heart disease? Do I have any risk factors? And that should be done every year. And then if you do have risk factors or you are having symptoms, you certainly should get more workup, like a, you know, possibly a stress test or an ultrasound of your heart. I mean, there's a lot that can be done, but depending on what you tell your doctor.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really a matter of us being aware of when that time is, and to just be, you know, hypersensitive to our current state.
Exactly.
Okay. And what would a normal healthy heart look like, or what does it really look like to be healthy? Like, for example, I love cardio. I love doing lots of cardio. And is it something that's contraindicated if you have a history of cardiovascular disease? Is it hereditary? Like,
so we want everyone to do cardio if possible. So if you can get your butt off the couch and do it, that's great. I think that, you know, there are some studies showing lately that, you know, maybe 4 times a week, 45 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes of cardio is the optimal amount of exercise for people to do. I mean, really what we want is people who have, you know, had a heart attack or who have certain valve disease or have heart failure, those people will need to speak to their doctor about what is and isn't allowed. And certainly, you know, for certain periods of time or with certain arrhythmias, your doctor may say to go gradually or to not get your heart rate over a certain amount. But in general, most people should really try to do cardio 4 days a week with, you know, a good heart rate response for at least 30 minutes of that. And I think that what our goal is for people to feel like that they're healthy. And so that sort of begs the question, like, well, what is healthy? And we have a lot of different ways of defining health, I think, in our society. Mm-hmm. So healthy may mean to one person that they are really happy and enjoy their life, and they may not exercise that much. And to another person, healthy may mean that they work out 7 days a week and their, you know, resting heart rate is 50. And somebody else, it may be, I want to, you know, be able to always walk on my own and not get old and have someone have to help me. And so I'd rather die before that happens. So, you know, I think it really, you know, depends. Some people don't ever want to lose their vision. Some people don't want to lose their hearing. You know, some people never want to lose their independence. And I think most people probably would argue that healthy means, you know, you live your life, you're very active, you can do whatever you want to do, and then you drop dead at a certain age without any suffering. Yeah. Right? I mean, that would be the goal, that you don't get, you know, hospitalized multiple times and have to suffer. And so from our perspective, the best way to keep your heart in that condition is to, you know, exercise, eat healthy, make sure you, you know, have things in your life that you enjoy, like that reduce stress. Like, actually, yoga has been shown to reduce blood pressure and lower resting heart rate and improve, you know, mental stress, which is also a huge issue for people with heart disease. And certainly stress can trigger cardiac events. So, you know, I think people have to fill their lives with the things they enjoy. But from our perspective, healthy is, you know, ideally getting your heart rate up to your, you know, target heart rate four times a week.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, that's
but
great.
Also having good cholesterol and not having diabetes. You know, there's
right.
so many things.
So how does that? Yeah. So how does our diet obviously plays in a role in all of this?
Mm-hmm. So we, you know, my feeling about diet is I'm really not a fan of fad diets. They don't work, and I don't think people ever stick to them. And if people lose a couple of pounds, it's almost always related to like losing water weight. Mm. So I, you know, the diet I always tell my patients to stick to, and which is really, there is actually some data to support it, is the Mediterranean diet. So a diet rich in, you know, olive oil, not butter, no fried food, lots of legumes, fish, minimizing red meat, you know, nuts, vegetables, fruits, things like that. Whereas, you know, that's basically the DASH diet is another one, which is very similar to the Mediterranean diet, specifically designed to lower blood pressure and also minimizes a lot of the salt in your diet. So that's the diet I encourage my patients to stick to.
Oh, that's really good. I mean, I've studied both of those, the DASH and the Mediterranean, and I think they're really great. And I've definitely
right.
read a lot of, you know, studies that people have done that actually helps lower that. Is there anything that you would not recommend?
I don't recommend people to go on these high protein ketogenic diets.
Oh.
I think that they're really not healthy.
Let's talk about that. I think that's
why are you a big fan?
I'm so surprised. No. I'm surprised because it is something that people are really doing a lot of right now.
Yeah. So I you know, I have always felt like we as human beings can process a lot of food. I know there's a lot of different theories about what's best, but I've always felt like if you eat a balanced diet and you know, you're healthy and active, you're getting all your nutrients you need from your diet, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's appropriate to only eat, you know, excessive amounts of one food group. The same way that, you know, it's not good to eat only sugar. I don't think you should only be eating high protein, you know, and excluding all other things. Your body needs, you know, some fat, some carbohydrates, some sugar. And I know it's not sexy and it's not, you know, exciting for people to hear. And I certainly think people lose weight on a very high protein diet, but it's, again, it's not that sustainable. And it's just, I think that it's, you know, sort of ignoring the fact that we need some balance of all the different kinds of food groups and the ability to process those and get those to our different parts of our body is important. So but I think that it's boring, you know, to say you need to have a little of this and a little of that. And our culture is so driven by, you know, extremes and, you know, people buy more books about celiac disease than they do about heart disease, even though they're most likely going to die of heart disease, you know?
Mm.
So it's just not an interesting topic for people, but it is actually, you know, the middle of the road in moderation is crucial. Like you can have a glass of wine here or there. You can have a steak now and then, but it's like, you don't have to do everything to such an extreme where you only eat steak or you only eat eggs.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, some of these, you know, people that I know are like having steak for breakfast, lunch and dinner, like every day. And I'm just like,
right.
Boy,
right.
I mean, I do personally, I do more of a, you know, plant-based diet. I mean, that's
right.
typically how I eat. And I have celiac. So it's like, I've been gluten-free since back when I was diagnosed with my extra systole, you know, like back then,
right.
you know, when,
well, that's interesting you say that because I actually know several people who've had palpitations related to a diagnosis of celiac disease. And it certainly
really?
Has. Yeah, it has an interplay with heart disease for sure. But, you know, there is celiac disease and then there's people who decide that they don't want to eat gluten anymore.
Right.
You know, celiac disease is a very specific disease
mm-hmm.
that people cannot process, you know, wheat.
Yeah,
and it's,
exactly.
And it predisposes you to cancers and other things. And those people need to stop, you know, eliminate wheat from their diet. But that is different from just everyone saying, I want to go carb free and go gluten free because they feel it's healthier, because they're two different things.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, I think it's really important to make informed decisions.
Exactly. Exactly.
And not just jump on the bandwagon of something that's big. Yeah. You know, I can't ever imagine. I always think about those things, or like, what was that one? The Atkins. And
that's like a ketogenic diet, right? Where you eat very high protein and almost no carbs.
Yeah. I'm just like, what are your poor insides doing with all of that?
Right. I mean, well, people actually developed like ketotic smelling breath, you know, like they have that sweet smell from the ketosis that's going on in the breakdown of protein, and which is what we see in diabetics who are having, you know, a diabetic crisis. And so things like that to me don't seem rational. I'm a much more of a moderation person.
Yeah.
You know, have some, I will say that if I'm not judgmental though. So if you are doing some kind of diet where it's, you know, gluten-free or meat-free or heavy meat, you know, and you feel great, then that's your choice. You know, like, then I think that's great for you. But I don't know that everything works for everyone. And I think that my goal in our society where, you know, there are certainly people on the extreme ends of health and wellness and fitness, but what the bigger problem aren't those people. It's the people in the middle who are eating McDonald's fast food and processed food, where the first goal should be just to move away from like what I call fake food and eat actual real food, which is, you know, vegetables and fruits and, you know, things like that. Because I think that, you know, everyone's wonders, well, why is our society so obese? And why is there so much diabetes? Why are children developing diabetes? And it's because they're eating bad food, you know, and it's getting passed down from generation to generation. And so we really need to educate people and try to minimize the exposure to those kinds of foods, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, this has been the ongoing conversation and just our culture and our society about how easily accessible fast food is and how inexpensive it is, and people right. just not making. And I understand, look, I've done a lot of work with, you know, at-risk youth and working with communities that, you know, have, you know, socioeconomic barriers, et cetera, you know, so I understand that it can be a financial thing, but I still feel like it's a choice. You know, you're still going to spend less money on vegetables than you are on like meat, processed meat products. And, you know, I feel like it really comes down to just making the most educated decisions that you can. A quick message from our sponsor. If you're looking for a nutrient system that truly embraces and complements the mind-body balance in a holistic, nurturing way, then wellness kits from Uveda are your natural answer. They're created with the help of naturopathic and Ayurvedic practitioners committed to the healing tradition's mantra of purity and harmony. These top-quality ingredients are hand-picked and refined in a way that preserve utmost quality and potency. Discover a wide range of formulas that deliver essential fatty acids, herbs, probiotic strains, and enzymes to help support your health and wellness needs. Whether you're looking for a natural detox support, a gentle digestive aid, soothing probiotics, or a formula dense in vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants, you can be assured you're getting only the best natural healing remedies for your body. Go to youveda.com, that's youveda.com, and enter the promo code Rosie, Rosie, for a special discount on your first purchase.
I mean, we also live in a society that's so heavily, you know, wrapped up in corn and corn syrup. Mm. And, you know, there's so much corn farming and, you know, there's so much extra corn available, so that, you know, making things with corn syrup, which we know is horrible for people, is also just so much a part of our society's food, as opposed to other parts of the world where they don't do that
they
at all.
Do that. Yeah,
they don't
yeah.
use corn syrup. They don't do that. You know, that's another thing where I feel like we were mentioning earlier, is I'm a big fan of just drinking water.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I think a green juice is okay, like, which is vegetable based, but this sort of like juicing concept to me is a little bit like counterintuitive, because, you know, when you base, you know, these juices that people buy at these juicing stores, that's all sugar. I mean, that sometimes is, you know, equal to 10 to 12 packets of white sugar, you know, the amount of sugar in those big, like a Jamba Juice or whatever those places
yeah.
are. and that's actually not good for you. And then, you know, people are on a juice diet, and I'm like, well, it's
well,
not
like,
really a
so,
diet.
So, yeah, so, like, or a juice where people, you know, like, I've done it. I've done juice cleanses in the past, but I think mm-hmm. that exactly what you're saying, it's like, so if you're having, you're doing a juice cleanse with, like, a little bit of celery and pineapple and apple and pear, you know, like, all the, mm-hmm. the sweet stuff, I mean, is that still, do you think that that's also, you know, creating that
yeah.
blood sugar spike?
I do. I think that if you're, you know, putting down on a juice cleanse, you know, however many ounces of juice, however many times a day, that's basically like drinking sugar water. And, you know, there's some other nutrients in there from the fruit, but, you know, I try to tell people it's better to try to stick to a green juice. Maybe there's an apple, but the rest is plant-based stuff, you know, that doesn't have as much sugar in it.
Yeah.
You,
so it's like sugar
it sounds
sugar.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not always healthy. You know, it's just a lot of sugar.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're speaking to this, because this is like one of those things that I've never heard anybody else in the health
that.
And wellness.
Well, that,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Well, this is what I say with children. You know, we're like, you know, every time you look at a kid in a stroller, they're drinking like an apple juice or an orange juice. Mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. we wonder why our children are becoming obese. It's like, they don't need to drink juice. They can have water. There's no reason that they need to be drinking like a cup of basically sugar, you know, and if you don't introduce it, then they don't know about it. So they stick to water, you know, I mean, not saying you have to be militant about it, but just recognize what you're doing and how it affects over years, how that develops into, you know, how they're processing sugar and what they're expecting to drink. Because it's just orange juice and apple juice is going to lead to like Coke and Pepsi and, you know, more sugar down the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that we need to move away from that.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other things I wanted to ask you about is, I'm like, I have a friend
yeah.
who, she would like, you know, drink these little organic energy shots when she uh-huh. would get tired and then go to, you know, work out. So what's your feeling of those little energy shots with like B complex vitamins and all this? There's caffeine in there, obviously. And
right,
you know,
I mean, yeah,
go ahead. No, well, I'm like, and say this friend has had a history of palpitations, so let's just, yeah, let's speak to this friend.
So here, I think vitamins have really never been shown to do anything to improve morbidity and mortality in people. Occasionally people have real vitamin deficiencies uh-huh. that they're either born with, or, you know, certain things that they're really, because they have been depleted in their environment. But in general, supplemental vitamin use, despite what everyone says, there's really no randomized studies that show a benefit. I mean, even sadly, fish oil, those studies have been very neutral on heart disease. And while I think there are benefits to fish oil in terms of, like, you know, hair and depression and all kinds of things that omega-3 fatty acids do, mm-hmm. it's not clear that they are the magic bullet either. So what I tell people is you can drink vitamins. Chances are you're peeing out most of that. And that's why your urine turns bright yellow, is because all of those pills are made with, you know, tons of filler and, you know, to hold all that stuff together. And then most of the time you're it's coming out when you go to the bathroom. So I think that the best place to get vitamins and nutrients is from your food and your diet. The best place, if you do have, you know, certain conditions can lead to vitamin D deficiency or things like mm-hmm. that, if you live in very, you know, sunless places, and
yes.
you can certainly take supplements. But I think that in general, those shots, it's really the caffeine that's giving you an energy boost right before you work out. And mm-hmm. caffeine is certainly linked to causing heart irritability in people, especially who have palpitations. It's not going to kill you. It's just going to maybe make you have more palpitations and be more irritable. Your heart's going to be a little more irritable.
Yeah.
But I do think that those pure energy, like what you're describing, sounds kind of like an organic energy drink
yeah.
with vitamins and a little caffeine. But those mm-hmm. like Red Bull, those high caffeine, those are not
yeah.
good for people. And especially young people should really stay away from those.
Oh my goodness.
They're not.
So my little 19-year-old sister, we've acquired her mm-hmm. like 2 years ago. So my partner and I are raising a teenager. But like, she'll come in, she doesn't do this anymore, but like, she would come in with this huge monster energy drink, like huge. And I'm like, oh my
right.
goodness, like this can't possibly be good for anyone to be drinking.
Right. No, I really, it just, all it's doing is giving you a ton of sugar and caffeine, and then you're, it's causing like a huge blood sugar, you know, spike with a huge release of insulin. And then the aftermath of that is to actually probably feel more tired, yeah. You know, but it is going to make them awake up. It's certainly going to make them, you know, more alert for a little while, but it's a trade-off and it's not actually particularly healthy.
Oh my goodness. So
yeah.
I'm like, so many things. This has been most enlightening. This is our segment of health education here on Radically Loved Podcast. So I have a couple more questions, and I want to be respectful of your time. I know you have patience on the wing. So what would be like the top three things that we can do for our heart health that you can share with us?
So I think, well, I don't know if this should count, but I want all, whether it's women or men listening, but especially to the women, I really want them to make like even a well woman visit if they're feeling okay. And if they're not feeling okay, to make a doctor's appointment and really go and insist that you be evaluated for all of the things we just talked about, because it's the same way that you would get a pap smear or a mammogram. You need to go and have your heart assessed and your risk factors assessed for all the reasons we've talked about. And especially because cardiovascular disease is probably what's going to kill you, you know, as a woman. The second, so that's sort of like just the overarching thing. The next thing I would say is to really try to look at your diet, look at how you're treating your body, whether it comes to, you know, processed foods or alcohol intake, drug intake. You know, these are all things that people do, and I understand that there's reasons that people do it and they want to relax and this and that, but they are toxic to you. And, you know, the whole a glass of red wine a day, I mean, that's not actually clearly shown to be true. In many people, alcohol is a cardiac toxin. So again, I'm back to this moderation thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see people who develop heart failure purely from alcohol abuse. So what we tell people is, you know, I never want to tell people you can never drink again, but like, have a couple drinks now and then. You don't have to drink every night, especially if you don't really need it. So that's another thing. So diet and then I would say exercise. Mm-hmm. And I always tell, especially my women, like, you don't have to be thin. Being thin does not necessarily improve your morbidity, mortality in life. In fact, women and people who are a little bit heavier are sometimes actually at lower risk long-term because they have more reserve. So as they age, you know, they're not as frail as some particularly skinny people. So mm-hmm. I say focus less on your weight and more on your activity level. It's the insides that I care most about. So get your heart rate up, walk, put your running shoes on, you know, do more activity. And then the third thing I would say is really like stress reduction. So whether it's a yoga practice or listening to a meditation app or doing something you really enjoy or, you know, being outside, whatever it is that helps you reduce stress and get a good night's sleep. Because again, sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night, I think that there's been a lot of attention on sleep and the importance of sleep. It really is very important for your body to sort of restore itself. And the same for stress reduction. I mean, there's people have heart attacks when, you know, there's a whole syndrome called stress cardiomyopathy where women more than men will have a very stressful event, maybe a death or a divorce or a fight with someone, and they develop a heart failure syndrome acutely. And that's called the broken heart syndrome. And it can resolve and will get better, but these women will present like they're having a heart attack and their heart looks abnormal and then it gets better. So we know there's a connection between the brain and your emotions and your heart, and they're interconnected and linked in a way that we can't ignore. So, you know, that's probably my third recommendation.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Oh my goodness. This is like, I feel like we should do this like every week, like just so we can start really spreading the word. I'm so grateful that you came onto the podcast. I feel like you spoke to, you know, all the things that are of concern and even things that we could probably elaborate on some more. But I want to be respectful of your time, obviously, but for the people listening who want more information, maybe about you, or they have a particular question or they want more information, where would you recommend they go?
So for me, I mean, I'm on Twitter, so they can see I'm like Dr. Jen Haith on Twitter. So they certainly could follow me or instant message me on Twitter or direct message or whatever it's called. And if they live near me in New York, you could certainly make an appointment with me or one of my colleagues. We've created the Columbia Women's Heart Center. You know, you don't have to have advanced heart failure to see a cardiologist, right? You can see a general cardiologist, and we have like great women doctors and male doctors. But, you know, we have a whole center for women who've had chemotherapy related heart disease. So, you know, we're trying to cover all the bases. So I would say you can make an appointment. You can make an appointment with your doctor. Yeah. And I mean, I've written a couple of little articles online. You can read about certain, you know, women's related heart stuff, mm-hmm. but certainly if they have questions, they can reach me on Twitter, and they can also reach me through Columbia.
Okay, great. So
through my office. Yeah.
I will, I'll put those for those of you listening. All of those links will be on the show notes. So if you go to the show notes and you click info, I'll have Dr. Jen's information on there. So you could just email her or message her or make an appointment there directly. Is there anything else you'd like to share with everyone?
What would I just, you know, I just want people to pay attention to themselves and treat themselves kindly. And, you know, it's never too late to change. Even, you know, I'm always trying to figure out how I can change my own routine to make myself, you know, feel better and be healthier. And so, you know, it's never too late to change, especially with heart disease. You can make so many changes, whatever age you are.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you, Dr. Haith. I keep calling you Dr. Jen. I'm like, what's up, doc?
You can call me Jen. It's fine. I have to come take a yoga class.
I know. So I am so grateful for all the work that you're doing and for spreading this knowledge that I feel so many women, everyone, especially women, need to hear. And so I really hope that you continue this work. And I'm so grateful that we have incredibly smart, bright, beautiful doctors like yourself out in the world helping us. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Do you want to go on an epic yoga adventure? I do. In fact, I do all the time. When do I not want to go on an epic yoga adventure? And this fall, in an attempt to see the Northern Lights, we will go to Iceland into a journey through the chakras. It's going to be fun. If you're curious, you can email me at rosie@radicallyloved.com or go to the show notes and click the links to each of the retreats, or you can go to radicallyloved.com. See you soon. Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am so excited to continue to do this. Please share this with your friends. Email us, message us on Instagram @RosieAcosta or on Twitter @RosieAcosta. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review. We love doing this, so please help us continue to keep this podcast going. Thanks for listening.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.